from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad. It's lovely and sunny here. Did I tell anybody it was lovely and sunny here?
Said it was snowing.
It is on the mountains.
Ridiculous man.
It's not. And I've been don't you start on me, I've been an actor this week.
big girl.
I didn't play
a
big...
That's a big wide screen, didn't they?
I did not play a big girl. I was a...
No, you say it's secret.
I can't. I know I'm not allowed. Anyway, the beautiful game, this is sad, the beautiful game has a really ugly side. As a few hours ago, three men have been charged over allegations of computer hacking at the Football Association. And guess what? They're blinking bank sites. They are Mancunians.
I know. Ugh. Good on you, lads.
What do you mean, good on you, lads?
No, not good on you because you've been naughty, but good on you being Mancunians.
Oh, I see. So anyway, they're going to be appearing before Stockport magistrates.
I've been there. I've appeared before them.
I'm sure you have.
I have.
I'm sure you have.
That was to do with equality between men and women.
Oh, good. It does sadden me because in Australia, how many guys got caught, Rach?
Oh, crikey.
Make it up, Rachel. Nobody will check.
758.
No, but there was a couple of few guys caught down. Two of them, I think, were Brits, weren't they?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very dodgy business.
This story? Well, it's just, it is so sad that in sports, you've got international sports, and some people are even alleging the last World Cup was dodgy as well, which I can't get my head around. That you've got, these huge gambling rings in the Far East controlling genuine, ordinary sport. So, how far can you go? I mean, how many men does it take to not play the game properly to lose a game? Who decides when allegedly there was some bets about them, a player being sent off? Well, to get sent off in football, you've got to really hack some other player up and you could break their legs. It's lunacy.
Mm. Rachel.
Well, they've
got
bigger problems with the World Cup next year because half the stadium fell down.
It did indeed.
It did.
Yeah. And it killed some people.
Have you noticed how animated he's got about this computer hacking thing, where normally computer hacking is something that doesn't matter, it doesn't change. Well, because it's got to do with that poxy stupid game of kicking the ball about, it's suddenly world domination and importance.
Well, you
stupid
could...
soccer.
No, it's not.
Soccer's stupid.
It's not?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Only
big girl thespians play it.
Yeah, it was a bit stupid the other night when Spurs lost again because they got a stupid manager. Anyway, this is logic. I love this next story. It is so logical. And I agree with Moscow 100%. Louis Vuitton, the fashion house, stuck this sort of pretend huge trunk up in the middle of Moscow as a publicity stunt. And the council in Moscow said, "You can't do that. Take it down."
Because
they're so reasonable, those guys in Moscow. They're just so reasonable.
They just thought there was a really big spy buried in it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And they probably thought
there was 100 gay people sequestered inside that big.
And they stuck this stupid thing in Red Square, and anybody would check that it's a World Heritage Site, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. You don't put large pretend travel boxes in the middle of a World Heritage Site. You are numpties.
You don't nail your testicles to the middle of Red Square like that performance artist did a couple of weeks ago.
A bit of a numpty.
You do if you're on holiday and had a few vodkas.
Yeah, true.
Only for a laugh.
Of course.
I have to finish.
Maybe it was more performance art. Who knows?
Well, a spokesman for Louis Vuitton in Paris said, no, that's German, we have received an official order to take down the trunk. Good.
How big's the trunk?
Massive. It's bigger than a house.
But you have to accept that Red Square, even as a World Heritage site, does not respect its own heritage because they've allowed a store to call itself GUM. G-U-M.
I know.
GUM.
Yeah.
And that is ludicrous. That is more insulting than Louis Vuitton putting a big, big bag there.
It's a big box. It looks like one of those stupid things that they had on those horse and carriages years ago. And it's stupid.
It's a trunk.
It's stupid.
And it's also they could have thought of a different purpose for this. They could have used it as some sort of rubbish receptacle, recycling bin. Mm-hmm. There are a million things they could have done rather than have a wah 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 call the wambulance.
Very good. Anyway, we move along. So I
are totally toothless over this.
I agree with, not often do I agree with the Russian government, but this time I totally agree. To screw up a piece of culture, oh hang on, I'm defending culture as well now, to screw up a piece of culture with a stupid box.
He's been eating yogurt again, that's what it is.
I think you're wrong.
Eric's wrong. Of course he is. Yeah, they can put their big trunk where they want. They can come and put it in my back garden if they want. And if the Red Square are going to complain, they shouldn't allow a store to call itself out about after somebody who's got no teeth.
Yep.
It can only happen in Australia. It's sex, Jim, but not as we know it. Apparently the world's largest living organism has been having nookie.
The largest organism.
I said it carefully. I'm very, very good this week.
Sure did. The coral reef, the Great Barrier Reef is actually in a lot of trouble because of dredging and that horrible Gina Reinhart, and I'm going to go to prison for this, but Gina Reinhart has decided that, well, I don't know, drilling and mining right in the middle of this World Heritage listed piece of beautiful reef is a great idea to make more billions of money, even though she's got billions. But at the moment, it's spawning. It's having nookie. It's making babies. And it only happens very, very rarely. It happens when the sea temperature is above 26 degrees Celsius and when there's a full moon, which has a lot to do with the tidal flow, etc. And what happens is the water goes really clear and the divers can go underneath and see things bursting forth and then creating life.
So basically what you're saying is exactly that, which Lee's other half tells me.
What?
Yes.
She has to go underneath to see things popping.
No, the only time they have nookie is on a full moon and, you know, when it's over 26 degrees.
Yeah, but that's different. Yeah, that's so because I turn into a werewolf
now. Oh, same.
And I'm just insane but gloriously sexy.
Are you really?
But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and hopefully it will do some lovely things.
Well, let's just hope this is Mother Nature fighting back, because that would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Fighting back.
Yeah,
well,
be nice.
Because we don't have any ozone layer over the top of Australia anymore, there's a lot of bleaching taking place. Half the reef is now bleached and white and destroyed. Mm. So we love it when there's a bit of nookie in the reef, and we do. We enjoy the breeding, and we hope that it rejuvenates the reef that is in a bit of peril. Mm. But nature, again, taking over, making sure everything's cool.
All right, watch out, boys and girls. He'll start whinging now. It's 30 years since the first version of Now That's What I Call Music was written. Now That What's I Call Music was released. Actually, did you ever buy one? What was the first one you bought, Rach?
The first one I bought, I think, was in about 1983. Mm-hmm. And I used to buy them because I had a limited amount of pocket money back then and albums were quite expensive.
Yeah.
So I used to buy – that was the one album I used to buy every year because it had a song from everybody. And although I didn't like all of them, most of them were
I know what it was. I know what it was. Lee, was it? Guess what was on the first album that I calls his music? Men at Work.
Wrong. We've all got their UB40.
No, Men at Work. What was the song?
Land Down Under.
Land Down Under, and it was talking about Vegemite.
I hate it. I hate that song.
Well, there we have culture raising its head on the show, ladies and gentlemen, once again.
No, the reason I bought, the first one I bought had Culture Club on it.
It's the same album.
Well, that's the same album. It also had the Singing Gorilla on it.
Yes.
What, Elvis Presley? Elvis Presley.
Phil Collins.
I would lift the needle. I would lift the needle and I would get past the Land Down Under because it's woeful.
It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. You know what was on the radio today? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Right? That Susan Boylish woman.
Yeah.
That Susan Boylish.
The Elvis thing?
With Elvis. Performing with Elvis.
That's sacrilege.
Disgusting. Absolute rubbish. And this album with the singing monkey Phil Collins and the big, stupid, attic, fat, wobbly boy Culture Club and the drug addicted Duran Duran and UB40 are all
Rant and rant. I'll fade him down a minute. Anyway, you just reminded me of something, Lee. Thank you.
What?
I've got to say thank you to someone. Dave Smith, thank you so much. The beautiful, beautiful mug has arrived, complete with the receptacle bits inside and the key ring, as I'm a Marmite junkie. Thank you, David, for sending it over. Bless you.
I love Dave Smith. He's a good man.
He is a good man.
I got Marmite gold in my fridge, David.
I found Marmite in our local Woolies the other day.
That's a joke.
Yes, all right.
Marmite.
Yes.
Marmite. You have to be a cop to say that.
Like, that used to be a commercial, My Mate Marmite.
Did it?
Mm. Yeah. You speak commercial. Anyway, good old Pete Waterman was as honest as usual on Sky News when he said, all my artists appeared on the Now albums, every one of them. And he actually said it was a great way of getting extra revenue from the tracks.
I'm sure it is.
He's yesterday's Simon Cowell.
Yes.
Actually, that's not a bad analogy, actually. Yeah, he kind of is.
I can be quite bright sometimes, especially at this hour of the day.
Simon Cowell's got bigger biffers.
Well, yes, that's true. Anyway, the more important factual news, because we had jokes about having facts on here last week with Alex, album sales are currently down 7.2% on the same time last year. But the sale of compilation albums are actually up 7.7% year on year.
I can explain
Christmas
that.
Presents.
Yep.
I can explain it even better than that without being disrespectful.
Okay.
I don't think so. Here we go. Go on.
Well, no, it's dead simple, really. What? It's dead simple because of the iPod, mm-hmm. you know, that little bit of thing that you stick all your music on, you now don't listen to albums as such, you know, concept albums where you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. What you actually listen to is a mishmash of different songs, different styles, different artists consistently. So now the compilation albums of different artists have gone up in price. I am a marketing genius.
They haven't gone up in price, you know.
I mean, gone up in sales. Sales say picky.
Yeah, you sound like Jeremy Clarkson.
I love
that. I feel ill.
He was bemoaning the fact that there wasn't concept albums on a music programme.
Was he indeed? He's a very clever man. We're a similar height and similar sort of age and proclivities. I like Jeremy Clarkson. Oh. And he.
I hate him.
He said the same thing about you, Miss Brunston.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's a mutual hate.
What
thing,
have you done to him? I'm talking about an age of equality. You've upset Jeremy Clarkson.
When he was here in Australia, I made sure the paparazzi stalked him at a restaurant.
Did you jump his bones?
No, but I tried to choke him with one.
Anyway,
hang
your head in shame, Miss Brunson. Australia has been blasted by the United Nations now for its asylum-seeking thingies. What's happening?
Look, this is a mess, and we should hang our head in shame. The asylum seekers transfer is just an absolute debacle. It's been a debacle for a long time. The new government has their whole campaign was stop the boats, stop the boats. Well, they've had no luck at doing that. And what the big deal is that we've got people in detention centres and for an inordinately long amount of time. There's no reason why legitimate refugees who are escaping terrible, terrible circumstances should be kept tied up in red tape for as long as they are, particularly children held in detention. It is just absolutely wrong. And there's every good reason why we should be hanging our heads in shame. Now, they were talking about sending the refugees to Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea have not agreed to that. And we also don't particularly want to do that because Papua New Guinea is one of the countries where it is illegal to be a homosexual. So if you're escaping persecution for that reason and then being sent to Papua New Guinea, your situation isn't any better. It has also gotten worse in the last week because the president of Indonesia, Mr. Uni Uni Beng Beng, he has discovered that his phone and his wife's telephone were being tapped by us. And the ambassador for Indonesia was recalled. He was immediately shipped back to Indonesia and our relationship with them has soured. In the meantime, Tony Abbott, our Prime Minister, has apologised to their Prime Minister and Mr. Bang Bang has said, okay, that'll do, that's fair enough, apology accepted, enough. But the situation here is really, really untenable. We've got a detention centre just around the corner from where I live here in Darwin and it is a hellhole, as are the detention centres everywhere else. What's more, they're full. I don't know what else they can do. They're sending them to Christmas Island. They're sending them to Nauru. And the sad part is they haven't stopped the boats. These boats are not seaworthy. Half of them don't make it here, probably more than half, don't make it here because they break up and people drown. And we're having to rescue them if we can with our Navy. And then Java and Indonesia are saying, well, you can't come back here, so what on earth are we supposed to do? But Australia's got a lot to answer for in this case, and the United Nations are absolutely correct to give us a good banging over this. It's really uncool. And I'm really, really disappointed that we do this because this is the land of, you know, opportunity. This is the lucky country, and we are treating these people just like they're criminals, and it sickens me. It sickens me every day to the core. It really does.
But, okay. But you say it's the land of opportunity, which in its own way it is. But it's a land of opportunity where if things go wrong for you, it becomes a land of absolute despair. And really, what we're missing out here is the history of the short history of Australia and the way it has treated people, particularly like the Aborigines. And this, in its own way, is a continuation of this strange attitude towards other people in a land that doesn't actually belong to you.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, the majority of people who live here are white, and they have come from places like Europe and the UK and so forth and so on. I mean, we are a melting pot of people. But the Indigenous people have been forgotten. I live in Darwin I've become very aware of the Indigenous situation because this is where most of our Indigenous population are. They're up here up north. And there is a real problem with alcoholism. There's a real problem with unemployment. There's a real problem with so many different things. And it is all brought on by the fact that they've been disenfranchised.
Poor, mistreated people, isn't it?
That's
what happens.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to move on. And I feel slightly, I don't know, unnerved? No, that's not the right word. I feel quite rubbish, actually, following on from that story with this one. But hey-ho, that's the way the world is. It goes from one end to the other. And we saw queues in London yesterday as gamers in the UK queued up overnight to get the PlayStation 4, because the big headline is the Christmas game wars are on between the Xbox One, which sold a million consoles in 24 hours. Bet the kids on the boats never see one of those. And also the PlayStation 4. So there's going to be a big bust-up between Sony and, well, not a bust-up, but a competition between Sony and Microsoft to see who gets the big Christmas sales.
I don't understand this. I do not understand this. You guys are living in a country of, well, not you, Eric, but this is the country of, you know, austerity measures, and people are lining up to pay exorbitant amounts of money for absolute rubbish. I find this offensive, this story. It's really, really just beyond the pale.
Mm. Well, I do actually own a Nintendo, but after the initial yee-haw, we've got one, I can't say as I've ever used it.
Rob bought an Xbox 360 a couple of years ago for Beth for Christmas. We used it once.
Mm. There's another point. There's a new report came out. Actually, I think it came out yesterday about youngsters and games. And with what Rachel's saying, I can see the point. There is something very insidious and bad about this. And they were saying in this report that children now do not communicate with each other in a way which is creative. They basically become isolated and focus on this machine. And it actually causes sections of the brain to die. The other problem with this...
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. I think that's just... I think that's as nutty as... You remember in the 90s, Lee, every cellular phone tower in the UK was killing people.
Well, I think they were. I think they did do
that. No, I don't agree, because science proved otherwise.
He didn't. I actually did stories about this, and it was proven that the people who lived under pylons and towers were actually more susceptible to group clusters of cancer clusters.
I was going to say, weren't there clusters all over the place there, Lee, and power?
I think what Eric's saying is right, in as much that there was a lot of hysteria about it. And if you walked under a telegraph pole, all of a sudden you made a claim because you got cancer of the brain. But this was saying that when it's a natural thing, it's a bio, so whatever that thing is to do with the body, it's that thing, right? If you do not use certain elements of your body, like parts of your brain or parts of your dexterity, then they will become non-functional.
I agree with that.
It's like a muscle.
If you don't
use it, you lose it.
Yes, I know that feeling because I'm having to exercise every night. Apparently, Bruce Springsteen's manuscript, Born to be Run, will be up at auction.
He said you're wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Born to be run.
And I wrote it.
You were born to run.
Yeah, exactly. Can I make a suggestion? Look, somewhere along the line, the numpty that buys this will stick it on the internet. Just photocopy it and put it in a frame, and that'll be over. Tongue piercing is now very high tech, apparently.
Oh dear!
This is a true story. What's happened is they've put a magnet in a jewellery looking thing in this completely paraplegic kid, and by flicking their tongue from right to left, they can now control the movement of wheelchairs. And I think that's amazing.
So Prince Albert would be redundant.
Ooh. Well, no comment.
Not right to left, though.
Sorry?
Be all right on a helicopter, Prince Albert. Could you go up and down?
No, stop it. Stop it.
I was helping Rachel out. She made the said it.
Yeah, she got it all wrong, didn't she?
When do I not? Come on.
Anyway, I'm just so proud of these guys because, the kids that are in wheelchairs, they're cool because they got, I've got tongue piercing, which is cool for them. They can then drive their own wheelchair around, which gives them independence, which is brilliant. And I just take my hat off to the scientists who developed this technology. I think you're wonderful guys. Well done on you.
Let's give them a big round of applause.
Yay!
What were you going to? You're going to ask a question.
Round and round. Can you do wheelies?
Probably.
Cool.
Yeah. We haven't got a lot of time left. So we're moving on to the gaff of the week spot on here. The gaff of the week spot, which is used to belong to... The press used to take the mickey out of Prince Charles, now Prince Philip, sorry, for often making little gaffes, of which he made one in front of Mr. Banks once as well. But taking the lead more recently is good old Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London, who this week has...
I love him.
I do. And he's upset a lot of people by saying to the masses that some people are just too thick. And do you know what? He's got a point.
I couldn't agree with him more. People are too thick to do certain things.
Correct.
Particularly in England.
Well, anywhere, really.
Yeah, I know, but I just like to have a go at England.
No, I see what you mean.
It's full of thickos.
Well, I am a thicko.
I am as well. I'm...
Are you not?
I
You're
am.
A very intelligent and handsome man, and I want to keep my job. Thank you very much.
But it's true. Everybody tries to do everything, which you can't do. Yeah. And the last time I tried to change a broken pane of glass in my then house, resulted me being in hospital for 2 weeks, having plastic surgery and my fingers sewn back on again.
But what's that got to do with Boris Johnson? Was it his window? Did he break it?
No, but he's right. We are just daft sometimes at certain things that we think we can do and we can't, and we should stick to what we're flipping good at. We are too thick to realise we can't do that. We're just thick.
I think you're right, but I think there's also a point here where the attitude that we have towards society today is that we are all now jack of all trades,
master of none.
Absolutely, all the good trades. Now you can do everything. If you want to be a lawyer, you can learn that on the internet. If you want to be a journalist, you can pretend to be one on the internet. You can do all these things. If you want to change your
career,
you can be a glazier. Yeah, everything. You can do anything. And what it's created, it's taken the specialism out of society, and that's a real tragedy. And I think Boris is absolutely right. And I think for once, I would say the press has gone over the top on trying to insult him over this.
Blimey. Can I have that in writing?
No, because I've just rescinded it. I've changed my mind. I'm quite right.
No, I think
leave
he's right.
Leave Boris alone. Leave Boris alone.
Very quickly, what's the view of Boris down under?
He's hilarious. We think he's hilarious. He always comes across as a pretty funny bloke. We got to see a lot of him when the London Olympics was on with the footage, and he visits Australia quite often. And we think he's hilarious. He's got that funny sort of ginger hair thing going on, and he's a bit portly, and he's chubby, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he's always got lovely things to say. And I mean, I know he's on a PR mission.
Well, there you go. But, Boris, we think you're lovely. Well done, you, mate. And certainly in Australia. We're going to take our leave from you there. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
And say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, everybody.
And see you soon. Take care. Goodbye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.